Yes, God. Amen. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Hopefully everyone is ready this evening. This is, when I say this has been a dynamic teaching series thus far, and we're only on part two, I can't even begin to explain it because the testimonies that I'm hearing from younger people that listened to the broadcast and what was said on last week helped them through certain situations. So I am just humbled by God for what he has put on my heart to be able to share with you. And I really need y'all and encouraging everyone to please stay with me. Listen. Let's get through all the tests. Study them for yourself. But I really want y'all to go back and teach this to your churches. This is not just a me word. I thank and praise God for the Now broadcast and for an awesome friend in Pastor E, way across on the other side of the country, who by the Spirit of God was led to allow me to have, you know, to be able to speak to you guys, because we need to go deeper sometimes in the word and extract some things for right now. When they say you need a right now word, that's where we're trying to get you. We're not trying to get you microwave word. We're not trying to get you quick bandages and quick fixers and things like that. What we're trying to do is get relevant right now in the situation that you're going through. Get you a word, teach you a word, give you all the foundation and all the makeup and all the substance that you need in order for you to succeed and be able to move through that situation. So I definitely am ready to get started on today, and definitely let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. You are an awesome God. You are an almighty God, an all-knowing God. You are the Father God. You are the creator. You are just the one. You are the master. You are just God and an awesome God. You said you are the great I am. And God, whatever it is I need you to be, that you are. And whatever the people on the broadcast need you to be, that is who you are. And so, God, we just thank you for being all things to us, Lord. Just asking, Father, for your spirit to come in, Lord, asking that you open our minds and our hearts and that you humble us to your word, not to the person, but to your word, God, and that open up our minds and our understanding, that we'll learn and that we'll grow, Father, so we know about the tests that are coming before us or the tests that we're in, so, God, we can pass the test and grow from the test and get what you will have us to learn in the test. So, again, we thank you and praise you, God. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. So I want to start with our foundational scripture, which was 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 10. Again, our foundational scripture for each one of these series is going to be 1 Peter 5, verse 6 through 10. And I want to read it in the NLT version. So if you have your Bibles, you can look it up. If you don't, please write that down and go back and reread the scripture. Please, just go back and reread the scripture. It says, humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are, so you're not alone. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. So understand, men and women of God, verse 9 and verse 10, Number one, you're not alone. You're not the only one that's going through something. You're not the only one that's going through tests or suffering. I know it feels like it, especially when you can't find anyone to talk to, but you're not the only one. That's the reason why we're teaching this. And then also, too, after you have gone through these tests, after you have suffered for a little while, God is definitely going to bring you out. He's going to bring you out better than you went in, but you have to know why God is testing you. So a quick review. Again, please have your pen and your paper. Let's not just talk about it. Let's be about it. Have your pen and your paper. I'm going to just do a small review on the last broadcast. We're talking about the test of God, because there's 14 different type of tests in the Bible. There's more than 14, but we're going to talk about 14 different type of tests. And we're going to talk about why God is using those type of tests to test you. Why, God, are you testing me? Why, God, are you taking me through the wilderness? Why, God, are you testing my character? Why, you understand what I'm saying? So not only are we going to talk about the type of test, but why God is using that test. So again, in quick review, there's five reasons why you're being tested. Number one, God always is trying to test your attitude. Every test is always going to be, one part of it is always going to be about your attitude, because God wants you to always display love. He wants you to always have love in the situation for people and through the circumstances. He always, and how you react to the circumstances. Number two, to purify you and show you where your weaknesses are. We all have them. If you don't have them, holler at me, because I want to know how is it that you don't have any weaknesses. But we all have weaknesses, and guess what? We all it's never always the same one. So right when you think that your weakness is gossip, and you think, okay, well, I passed that test, I've been doing good, God going to say, you human, so I got to show you another one, or I got to show you another one. So it comes to purify you and show you your weaknesses. It also comes, number three, to produce faithfulness to God and his word. Faithfulness, just like I said on last week, we're not talking about faithfulness to a man or a woman of God or to a church or to a church building or to a denomination. Oh, Jesus, glad, thank you, Spirit, forgive me that. Not talking about that type of faith. We're talking about faithfulness to God himself, because remember, it's all about kingdom. It's not about denomination or division or people. It's about kingdom. So he's coming to test your faithfulness to him. Number four, it comes to separate the wheat from the tare. God comes to reveal those who are chosen. It comes to, remember, they said there is wolves in sheep's clothing. There's wolves among us. There's also demons among us. So the test comes to reveal the true men and women of God. And the last, number five, the test comes to equip you with the tools that you need to effectively minister and help other people. Again, how are you going to teach, or how are you going to preach, or how are you going to counsel, or how are you going to help someone and you don't have the understanding of the situation that they're going through yourself? Not saying you're going to have understanding of every last situation, but your tests equip you with the knowledge and the wisdom to be able to help anybody in any situation, all right? So those are the five basic whys as to why you go through any type of test. And so on the last broadcast, we talked about the time test, we talked about the word test, and we talked about the character test. So if you did not get those last three, please review the archives on Pastor E's page or my page, my Facebook page, and get what the definitions were of those three tests. All right? So are we ready? Because I'm ready. I'm always excited. Let's go. So number four, I'm going to start y'all off early. Go get your tea. You're going to need your tea for this one. So number four is motivation test. Motivation test. Now, I had to read and study this one because, you're kind of looking at it like, okay, I know where she's going with that one. Ooh, we might make a little switch in there as to what this test really is talking about. This is a test to expose your inner and outer forces that influence your decisions, that influence your decision-making process. So this test comes to expose what is your inner influence, what is on the inside of you that influences your decision. and then show you what's on the outside of you. People, people, people. Can I say that enough? People, even situations, even places that is influencing your decision-making process, okay? You will be placed. Now, how God does this, I have to say, God, you really do this? But he does this. God will place you in a situation to reveal your inner intentions, to reveal to you what you value, to reveal to you your deepest thoughts, and what are your priorities. That's a bad test. So y'all already, please, that's not no short test. That's not no one-day test, no two-day test. That right there is a serious test. What is your inner intention? What do you value? What are your deepest you don't tell nobody about? And where are your priorities? This exposes how you make choices and decisions and why you even act a certain way. Are y'all still with me? Please, I don't want to lose nobody. Okay? So I'm not in your business. I'm just talking about these tests. Because some of these tests, I'm like, you are up in my business. But it's God. He needs to be in your business, right? Some people don't understand why they do certain things. What motivates you on the inside? Now, hear me good. I'm going to try to slow this down. What motivates you on the inside may change because of what influences you on the outside. What motivates you on the inside? You started off with a good motive, but because it changed because of what influences you on the outside. Or let's switch it around. What influences you on the inside can corrupt your intentions and actions on the outside. Wow. So it can go either way. That's why you gotta let God reveal what's causing your action, your reaction. What's causing you to do certain things that you do? Is it from the inside, you, that's causing it, or is it from the outside that's causing it? Basically, you start off with pure motive, but somewhere something changes. You start off an eager preacher for God, but somewhere down the line, now all of a sudden you need $5,000-$10,000 to even show up at people's churches. What changed? You understand? What changed? And I'm just using that as an example because I know people that was on fire, even including myself. Now I haven't changed to $5,000 and $10,000, but you know what I'm saying? I started off as an eager minister too. Like, okay, I'm so excited, but then after a while, that bougie set in. Ooh, where did that come from? Where, you know what I'm saying? Where did bougie come from? Where is it that all of a sudden it's got to be this and be that and all this other stuff? And we're gonna get into one of those tests too about you. Now you want to be served. You don't serve no more, but now people got to serve you because you got a title. What was your motive? What influenced you? Was that outside that you were looking at other people, or was that inside always deep down up in you? So, and let's bring it simple. Let's kind of bring it natural, okay? So you were a person that quit smoking, and you really stood on, and you really were happy to stop smoking, but now you're around outside influences that take you back to smoking. You see where I'm going with this? So testing your motive. Can you stand even when outside influences are there? Can you stand on what's on the inside of you that you want to be smoke-free? Or the trauma of losing? It could be a lot of different things. So I don't want to go to a lot of examples. So hopefully you'll stay with me on that. All right? So it could be, like I said, I can give a lot of examples. You start off giving cheerfully. I've even known this to happen in the church. You know, they start church. They was there maybe about 6-7 years. You know, they're a faithful tither. You know, and of course, if you got a better job, you tithe more. So say like, you know, I'm make $5,000 a month, so I can tithe $500. So, and you're consistent with that. Okay, well, that's what God called you to do. But then now, after all of a sudden, now you want a seat on the board. Where'd that come from? What was your motives in giving? You know what I'm saying? That just changed your whole giving, because you were supposed to be giving cheerfully unto God and to the kingdom for it to continue to grow, not to be getting a seat on the board. Things like that. So hopefully you understand where I'm going with that. All right? So God is putting you in a situation to either work what's in you out or work what's around you away from you. To work what's in you out or what's around you away from you. I think I need to say that one more time. The test comes to either work what's in you that is not of God out of you, or work what's around you that is not of God away from you. I remember one time posting a saying on Facebook that says, sometimes trying to survive may test your compromise. So what, again, are your motives? Can I really teach this how this one needs to be taught? Because I want to go somewhere with that one. So stick with me. I'm going to go back to that. Because what I said, sometimes trying to survive, you got pure motives. I want to survive. You need, you know what I'm saying, you're trying to make ends meet, or you're trying to, you know, make it to your next plateau of peace and all this other stuff. And what happens in your pure motives of just trying to hang in there and stay balanced, you will begin to compromise who you are in God for survival. Okay, all right, stay there. I'm going to give you a Bible example, and then I'm going to bring it in a little bit home. So Bible example, scripture to back this up, Numbers 22, verse 20 through 24. No, Numbers chapter 22 through chapter 24. The Lord, don't talk too fast. Sorry. Because I got to get to the point, so I always got permission from Pastor E to say how I feel it, but I'm trying to just bring y'all in very slowly on this one, but I needed to spend some time on it. In Numbers chapter 22 through chapter 24, King Balak tried to get the prophet Balaam to curse Israel, okay? So he was the king of Moab, and he was afraid of the Israelites and their strength. And so what he did was, he went to the prophet and said, I need you to go and speak curses against Israel so they don't come up against me. All right. And so at first the prophet was like, I can't do that. You know, I stand for God. So then the king went back at him again. This time he took a little change, you know, sent a little money, a little bribe. And he still said, I can't do that. I stand for God. So now check this out. Listen. He stood for God. And you'd be like, okay, cool. He passed the test. But remember when I start off and what I told you, I said, God will put you in a situation. What did I say? God will put you in a situation to expose your inner and outer forces and influences into why you make certain decisions. So God will put you in a situation. So guess what God did? You got to read the story for yourself. God said, go ahead on and go. Go ahead on and go. Go on down there. But when you get down there, I want you to speak blessing. Tell the king, okay, you're going to go. But when you go there, you ain't going to go and do what he said do. You're going to go and do what I said do. So he went. So then the prophet went down there on God's orders to speak blessing. When the king found out that he was down there not speaking curses and speaking blessings over Israel, the king sent more money, big money. Okay, when I say, you know, it was in suitcases and they had to handcuff the suitcases to their arms because it was so much money that they took to the prophet. This time, he didn't pass. because the prophet ended up giving in to taking the money. So, again, testing your motives, because will you? Because in the end, it all stems, will you stand for God? God is trying to purify your motive, not for you pimping your gift for money. Not to give, listen, come on, okay, come on, Valores, I can do this. Not to give your body for a position. Not to make other people look bad just so you can have a title. You putting people down just so you can have a title. What are your motives? He even tried to purify your motives, not getting married just because you need financial income. What are your motives for getting married? Just because you need somebody to help bring in some money? You understand what I'm saying? Not spending above your means to be able to fit in with another class of people that you ain't ready to fit in with. Again, why do you make the decisions that you make? Why do you do certain things that you do? And God is trying to reveal you're doing things that are out of my will because of either your outside influence or your inner motives. That's all he's coming to do with the motivation test. So motivation didn't mean as far as, hey, motivate you, cheer you on. No, it's what is your intention? All right? Whew, hopefully y'all got that one. That one is a difficult one. It really and truly is, because when you think about it, listen, like I said, sometimes trying to survive, you compromise. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Hustlers know what I'm talking about. Drug dealers know what I'm talking about. Women on the street don't want to call you the HOES, so I don't want to offend nobody. But women know what I'm talking about. When you're trying to survive, you'll do anything for compromise. Don't do that. We got to learn better. We got to do better. And then you find yourself right when you're trying to make that one quick lick or that one quick hit, and now you got the money, you right back in the same position within the next 30 days. It's never going to release you. It's not going to never let you back out. Only when you do it for God, only when you stand for God, only when you wait on God, only when you wait for the blessings of God and the promise of God to come, will he settle that whole thing, and you won't never have to worry about it again. You can move on in peace. All right. Okay. Test number 5, the servant test. Test number 5 is the servant test. I don't want to lose nobody. Don't go nowhere. Don't go nowhere. I just got to keep it real. I just got to tell it like it is. You will be asked to do menial tasks that you think are beneath you, beneath your title, your call, or position on the servant test. This is to reveal whether you like public attention and being served, or you truly desire to help and to serve. I won't speak. I love all my co-laborers, but a lot of people in higher positions is failing this test because they forgot that you are a servant at all times. If you are a leader and you need to serve on, if you are a leader, basically you need to know how to serve on every ministry. And what I meant by that is, a lot of us on this line can probably say, you know, we came up through the ranks. When I say the ranks, I'm talking about we started in the bathroom. We're not joking when we say that. We started janitorial service. When they saw that you had a call, not when you said that you had a call on your life. When they saw you had a call on your life, the first duty that you had was cleaning up the church. Unlocking the door. You got a key to be, but unlock the door. Unlock the door. Be there before the people get there. Unlock the church. Be the last one to close the church. Then you went up to janitorial service. Okay, now, since you got a key, now clean the church. Then you probably went to van service. Now go pick up some people. And it wasn't just men. It was women, too. I was on van service committee, too. Then it was teach Sunday school. My first assignment once they released me from cleaning up and picking up and cooking and everything else was teaching Sunday school. I was happy when my pastor called me in the office. He said, "I want you to now become a Sunday school teacher." And I said, "Okay, excellent." I'm thinking I'm finna go straight to adults. He put me with the teenagers. I said, "Jesus, you got jokes. I don't like kids like that." My first assignment was the kids. Oh, Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? We came up through the ranks. You had to learn to serve. You didn't just jump from the womb to the pulpit. So now it's in me to serve. I don't know anything any different. I thank God, and I pray that I stay humble like that as God begins to elevate me, because I don't mind being on the door for an usher. I don't mind going to get somebody. I don't mind any of that. I don't mind, sir, going to get water. I don't mind cleaning the basement. I don't mind none of that. Are you a servant, or do you feel like you need to be served? 1 Kings 19 was always a great example, was Elisha. Elisha was a servant to Elijah. So that's 1 Kings chapter 19. So this test was in the Bible, servant. Elisha was a servant to Elijah. Y'all hear me? Elisha was not Elijah co-pastor, assistant pastor, adjutant, armor bearer, associate pastor. No, it said servant. Even when Elisha had grown in his wisdom and his anointing, he still stayed servant until he was released by the man of God. God wants to test you to see if you can serve him first. Now listen to this. This, y'all need to write this one down, please. Because we have the servant order wrong. You first serve God. Do anybody know what is your next ministry? What is the greatest ministry that God is giving you? Family. Don't click. Don't hang up. Please don't hang up. Family. Family is first, y'all. Family is a ministry that he gave you. He gave you those children. He gave you the husband. He gave you the brothers and sisters and whoever else makes it. Family is a ministry that you need to serve. I know. I'm not talking about them running you crazy and all that other stuff, but if this is what you signed up for family, you are to serve your family. You're to serve your husband, wife. Oh. Husbands, you're to serve your wives. You understand what I'm saying? Then the next order is ministry. Whatever ministry God has you in. Then you serve the ministry. Then you serve community. The thing is we limiting who we serve. Then what? You serve strangers. When was the last time you served a stranger? When was the last time you said good morning to a stranger? Or hello, or held the door, or I'll get that for you, or I'll do that for you. They don't even know you. But when was the last time you even served a stranger? Then we serve the world. Then maybe you have time to serve yourself. You're last on the totem pole is what I'm trying to tell you. There's more people and areas that come before you. All right? The servant test. I could go a little bit quicker with that one, but that one is very important. So y'all ready for test number six? Test number six. Wilderness test. Test number six is the wilderness test. This is when you are led into a material or spiritual or both at the same time dry place. Dry. There is nothing moving, nothing going on materially or spiritually. This is when we talking about trying to make those ends meet and everything. They ain't touching. They ain't greeting. They don't even know each other. Spiritually, You question if you are even called because there is no kingdom work for you going on. You almost feel that you ain't even being used or not needed. Ooh, I don't know if anybody on the line ever been through that, but I've been through that one. I've been through that one. And that's been recently where there's nothing, no calls for teaching or preaching, no nothing. For a while I was in that test, it was just dry. I was like, okay, did I lose my connection? Did what's going on? I'm spiritually still, studying and training and, this, that, and the other. It started making me question when I'm not being used. People are around you, but you can't even communicate with them. You know what I'm saying? It just feel like you have nobody else to talk to but God. You have tons of people swarming around you, but you are not connecting to nobody. You just feel so disconnected. That is your wilderness test. The reason is to make God your sustainer. See, the thing is that when it's going on in your life, when you got everything going on in your life, not saying that everybody forgets God, I'm not saying that. But what happens is that you then depend upon those things to be your sustainer. You depend upon that job, that check always coming in, your good health, your good looks, or whatever the case may be. You depend upon your friends having your back and everybody else being your resource when God needs to be the source. So what he does is he's testing you just to make sure that you are not going to fall by the wayside or fall off with him because you're going through. How many of y'all know that or know some people that have done that? You like, I know, oh, I'm going through. Well, go through with God. Don't go through without God. We seem to want God and praise God when everything is going good, but when everything starts going bad, we break bad off on God. God wants you to know you cannot trust your material possessions. Do not put claim and stake in your title or your own understanding to be your foundation or what holds you up. God is your only foundation, source, resource, everything. He supplies everything. And are you still going to trust him when you have absolutely nothing? When you don't have the things that you are used to having, are you going to stop praying? Are you going to stop witnessing? Are you going to stop worshiping? Is that going to make you stop praising God? Sometimes the best way to learn how to tune into the Spirit of God is only going through a wilderness test. And we definitely know the story of Moses in Exodus. In the wilderness, dry places, no water, no food. Lord, what you do? You bring us out here to die. We had it good back in Egypt. You bring us out here. We ain't got no bread. We ain't got no meat. We ain't got no water. We ain't got no, you understand what I'm saying? So sometimes God will bring you out of a situation. You had a good job making good money, and now you like, God, did you bring me out here to die? Did you bring me out here to lose everything? No, baby, he didn't. He just wants you to trust him and trust that you're going to make it through this test. And there is a promised land that is before you. Okay? Last test I'm going to talk about today. Test number 7. And then after that, I only need hopefully only 2 more broadcasts to get this finished. But I'm praying that this is helping somebody. I really need this to help somebody because, like I told y'all, me until I just got this understanding of these tests, I'm like, I was all over the place. I knew I was going through, but I didn't know why I was going through, what I was going through for, or any of that. I'm just trying to hold on for dear life to get out of it. Test number 7. This is a good one. Misunderstanding. The misunderstanding test, being misunderstood. Jesus. I was in this test for 3 years. I recognize it now because, again, I didn't have all these tests, you know, or have, you know, this at my disposal 3 years ago. All I know is I went through 3 years of purity, what I thought was hell, people misunderstanding me and misinterpreting me and falsely accusing me and whatever else, and I could not understand what in the world and why in the bejeebus am I going through. I just, there was a point, I promise y'all, men and women of God, I just shut up. I just stopped talking. Because it seemed like everything or anything that came out of my mouth, everybody had their own interpretation and started jumping down my back or down my throat, misunderstanding what I was trying to say. I shut up. I didn't say nothing. I would attend meetings and didn't say nothing. I would sit around people and not say nothing. I would just nod my head and agree. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you, whew, this is when people do not hear you, receive, or reject what you are trying to communicate. They don't hear you. They ain't trying to hear you. They ain't receiving from you. Don't want to receive. Don't even want to be nowhere in your presence. If they know that you talking today, they ain't showing up. And if you do say something in the most positive light, they still going to reject it, knowing that it was good for them, knowing that was the best macaroni and cheese I served you, but you still going to sit there with your mouth closed and refuse to eat what I just gave you. You'd rather sit there and starve than to take anything from me. Anybody else been through that test? Because, see, I'm serious about that one, because that one was it. Not knowing that and understanding that, that one almost caused me to want to quit. I promise you it did. Because I'm like, I can't do this no more. They misinterpret or mistake your actions, words, attitude, and motives. Come on now. It's your whole very essence. It's your presence. They reject everything and anything about you. You can come in with cupcakes, pizza, and buy the whole office or the whole ministry or the whole whoever lunch on you, and they still is going to misinterpret your motives, your attitudes, and your actions. Like, I don't mean nothing by y'all. I just really want to just buy dinner today. Can we just eat? Well, what you trying to do? Well, what's this for? Well, all I can say is Jesus. That hurt it. It hurts. That one is one that hurts. Because you only desire to want to connect to people, especially when you know God is calling you for leadership, and you desire to want people to hear what God is giving you. But God put me through that misunderstanding test. But you know why? I'm going to tell you why. Through all my hurt and pain, God is trying to get you to find new ways to speak to the people. Even though you mean well when you communicate, the attitude is too hard, harsh, or even sound angry. Even though you mean well, for me, by the time the 30th person said something, I figured I better go to God. I'm like, you know what? I cannot believe everybody. And when I say the 30th person, I don't mean 30 people in your church. I mean, it was one person, two people at your job, one person at church, one person you went across country to a conference and said something to people. I mean, it's random people saying the same thing. That's when you need to take notice that maybe it's something to what they're saying. And I went and I bowed before God. My harshness was coming from me being a perfectionist. Remember, when we talk about that motivation test, what are your motives? I was a perfectionist. And I did not understand what was so hard with people just doing what I told them to do. What's so hard about that? If I give you the instructions, what's so hard? But again, remember, if anybody remember me speaking about it, I'm an only child. So my mom only had to say it one time. And she only said it to one person, which was me, and it'd be better, and it better been done the right way that first one time, because there was nobody else to blame it on. All right? So, again, it was now back to that motive test. What was inside of me, dormant, that I did not understand, even though I had the right motives, came out in the wrong actions. Because there, it was an inner hidden thing in me that God had to reveal to me that I know, I hear you, daughter, you're trying, but it's almost like I always say, listen, this only, if there's a person that's musty or smelly, you got on your cologne, you got on your Calvin Klein or whatever else, but you go stand 30 seconds next to a person that's musty or smelly, you going to walk away smelling just like them. It only took 30 seconds. You start smelling yourself like, man, that just jumped on me. And that's the same thing when you got pure motives. Your pure motives is coming from the deep root of your belly. But somehow coming from the deep root of your belly, it brushed up against past something stinking still hidden in your life, and it came out stinky. That's the only way I can describe it. So that's why God is trying to get to reveal those hidden things on the inside of you. God is trying to show you, you cannot go around building miniature replicas of you. That was me. I'm going around trying to make everybody just like me. Let people be who they are and learn to understand them and adjust your methods. Hear me. Your methods to help them in the understanding level that they are at. You can't keep, people are not at your level. And that's not saying that you're at a level higher. They're not at your understanding. You know, being a teacher, you know, they always taught you. Some learn visually, some learn hands-on, some learn by words. Remember, you got to change your method to who you're speaking to. All right? So, it's time to start opening up the phone lines for any questions or comments or anything anybody want to say. While you're dialing in, I just want to recap. But the scripture referral for that one, it's a lot of stories in the Bible for that one. Abraham had to adjust. Moses had to adjust. Jesus had to speak in parables to adjust to their level of learning. And Paul said, I had to become all things to all people. So those are some great examples of that test, the misunderstood test. I know you, it's frustrating, but hopefully I just helped somebody to stop thinking it's them when God is showing you it's you. So dial one right now. Time to open up the lines. Time, hopefully there's some people in the time that we have left, some questions, comments. I'm praying that this is continuing to still bless some people. Pastor E, you on the line? We got anybody on the line? We going into our next test next week. Hold on. Are we still there? Hopefully that. But we're
No, you're still here. I just had to get my, okay. My screen. It went off. I had to get back in here. Awesome, okay. Awesome. Week two has went to another level. Woo, you all up in my chest closet.
That was some heavy stuff today, wasn't it? That was heavy.
Yes. I know I'm filled. Want to give everybody an opportunity to dial one. You got a question? You got something you missed? Definitely listen to the archive. It is available. On the link that I've sent to you, the link I sent today is for today's show. You don't have to ask me about this. It's not last week's. Whatever day I send you is the day that show is. Come on and dial one right now, get in the conversation. Or if you have taken your notes, we want you to be ready next week. I believe we're going to open up next week with some questions in the beginning. see if you guys are really taking notes. I see we have many callers on here. And my ride or die is always going to dial one. Minister Terry, welcome to a Now Word. This is the series. And I want to share with you guys the reason why the Lord led me to call it a Now Word, the series, is because we're going to keep this Wednesday night open for anybody that wants to preach, wants to get out there, need practice, whatever. We're going to be opening that thing up and making a flyer for that, for series. We want series teaching on Wednesday nights. And we're so blessed to be christened and started off by Pastor Valores. Minister Terry.
Good evening, family. Good evening, Pastor V, Pastor E, and all the listeners. I tell you, mighty woman of God, this has blessed me because, you know, I listened to the archives, too, about the test, but I loved what you started off, too, opening up with the reasons why God is adjusting our attitudes, and he's purifying our hearts, and he's checking our faithfulness to him. And, you know, there have been tests, and I know it's only him. Through the test is perseverance and character, you know, and I thank God, too. But I thank God for you bringing it the way you have tonight and the way you explained it and the way you've given scriptures and you broke it down. And I thank God for you tonight, mighty woman of God. I love you. I appreciate what you have done, and I look forward to next Wednesday also. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Glory be to God. I love you. God bless you.
Bless you, Minister Terry. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Got a couple more minutes. Dial one. Come on, get in the conversation. If not, we're going to let you go. Pastor V, I'm going to turn it back over to you. Closing remarks, closing prayer, whatever the Lord is putting on your heart. If something's going on in your ministry, please share through this avenue. We want to be a throughput to get the word out and for people to support you in the things that God has for you.
Amen. I thank and praise God. I'm glad that there is people on the line, and hopefully God has allowed me to explain it and no one had any questions. But please, if feel free, even after the broadcast, if you want to hit me up on my inbox because you had a question or comment and you just was a little shy, that's fine as well, because I want to make sure that we're getting it and that we're understanding it, and that, again, just like I said, through the misunderstanding test, that I'm not being misunderstood. So definitely want that, but I got to prepare you for next week. Next week, we're going to be talking about the patience test, the frustration test, discouragement test. Those are three heavy hitters right there.
You might not get off patience. You might not get off the patience test. My God, you all up in my test. I'm telling you, it's just it's awesome. I'm just listening and watching how God is releasing from you. And it's like, it's the same things that he's shown me. It's like, wow, we're a lot alike. And that goes male and female. We need to really start to hone into how close we are if we just start to pay attention and listen to one another. I'm blessed tonight. You did a great job. If you needed anybody to tell you, I will let you know. I have been blessed. My journal, my test journal, I'm building a test journal. And we do that here on the network. Whenever we're getting into different series of different teaching, I want a series about it. I want to really have some good notes that I can now have something to build on, not just to read, not just to say it was good, but to really build on in my walk with God. So I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Amen. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you for this broadcast, Lord. We thank you and praise you for the ones that were on the line listening, Lord. Again, please, Lord, let the words go out to touch their hearts and their mind. Lord, give them full understanding for the test that they're in. Even if I have not yet spoken on it, Lord, begin to reveal to them, Lord, what you are trying to do in them and through them in the test that you have put them in. God, I ask that you protect each and every person, oh God, until we speak again on next week. God bless. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000now.com. Again, We thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.